or there certain men creep in unawares. I'm glad I read that. Some of you would have read it wrong. For there are certain men creep in unawares. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles and you read just a little further, you would find the condemnation, as I mentioned in today's Sunday school lesson, the book of Jude. But then I go back into the Old Testament, and verse 44 of the 11th chapter of Leviticus. This is the law book. We're dealing here with the things that are clean and unclean under the law. You ought to thank God that you're not under the law. If we were under the old law, we couldn't have that catfish supper we're going to have. That creature would have to have scales and fins. We couldn't eat a rabbit because he chews real fast, but he doesn't have the cloven hoof, hair that is. Same with the coney, the squirrel. And you couldn't eat a pig because he's just unclean. He had a forked foot, but he didn't chew his cud. But go down to the 44th verse, and it talks about creeping things. I read to you from Jude where men crept in. And I think it's in the book of Timothy, first or second, I'm not sure at this point. But you're familiar with this scripture, where certain men crept in, leading astray silly women. Of course, that don't apply to any of you. But what I'm trying to say, there are those creepers that will try to slip in. They knock on your door quite often, offering you literature. They will hand you a tract to deceive you. In fact, the Word of God says they'll compass land and sea trying to make one proselyte. And when they get through with them, they're twofold the child of hell. I mean, they're in bad shape. So again, I say thank God for truth tonight. But I'm just going to title this, Watch Out for Creeping Things. Somewhere I read that if a creeping thing, you know, I hate some creeping things. Have you ever stepped on a snail? Come on, admit it, have you? Now, that's about the worst thing that can happen to a barefooted Arkansaser, you know that? If a creeping thing in the Old Testament, if it happened to creep into your oven, you burn the oven. I mean, you got rid of the creeping thing and the oven. Somebody said that's a good example about television. Things creeping inside that thing and shoot it. I'm going to say this. You better not get carried away with the programs of this world. I don't want to be a harebrained, but I suppose that there's been many a divorce that started with too much watching soap operas and the ways of this world. These things are so common, they are absolutely so common on the TV and on through magazines and through songs until the stage is set for just a little spat to just go to get you a divorce lawyer and get you a divorce and get remarried. That's the world in which we're living in. It's so common. But I'm pulling this scripture out of its setting because I'm not going to talk about eagles and vultures Who'd want to eat a buzzard anyhow? My grandmother one time, granddad killed a hawk. That's one of the unclean birds, too. And my granddad shot this hawk, and we'd always heard they were just as good as rooster. And he brought it in. She's going to make hawk and dumplings on him. And when she cleaned him, they said, and I guess this is true, said his entrails are just one straight line. Grandma thought it was deformed, and she didn't want to eat anything deformed, so she threw the hawk away. It doesn't take too much looking at the old buzzard till you decide right quick you don't want some of him. He may be a turkey buzzard, but you don't want none of that. No, sir. There's a lot of unclean things in the Old Testament Scripture. Raven likened to the crow and the owl and the cuckoo and the swan, the pelican, the stork, and the bat. I wouldn't want that bat. He's just a mouse with his legs sewed together to make a bird out of him. That's all he is. I'm talking about unclean things in the Old Testament. But would you imagine when Peter saw the sheet let down from heaven with all manner of four-footed beasts and unclean things? He probably saw mules and catfish and hawks and kites and bats and storks. And maybe that's what's happened. Maybe that's the reason our Sunday school's not growing. The storks have all been killed. I'm sorry, I can't put anything over anymore. But it goes on down to the verse 44, the creeping things, which would include a lot of things. I remember one night when we lived out on the highway, the house is torn down now, just before you turn toward the old Dewdrop Church. And one morning I was sleeping late. Oh, it probably wasn't very late, 8 o'clock or something. That's early for a preacher sometimes. That didn't get a laugh either. And so Sister Utley said, breakfast is ready. And it's so wonderful sometimes just to take one more little snooze. Just a little one. And so you answer, okay, and then you shut your eyes again just to drift off. It'd be worth just a whole lot just to have one more little snooze. Well, after a while she said, there's a snake in the house. Now I thought, I'm not going to fall for that. She said, I tell you, there's a snake in the house. So I get up, and I think she just wanted to get me to the breakfast table. And I walk in the kitchen, and would you believe, there was a snake in the house. He'd creeped up beside a gas pipe. I don't see how that fella got in the house. The little old crack wasn't, but he came through there. And he was crawling across the floor, and I run by. I said, get back, everybody. Watch out. Get back. It's just a chicken snake, but snake is a snake. I'm scared of a water hose if it wiggles. I'll tell you that much right now. They just don't have no business in the house. I don't want to live with creeping things. This time of the year, I've already seen two or three of our pets that come by. Going to have to go back to the health department and get me some more poison. Where they come from, I don't know, but they're squeaking. I've done seen a couple. I could shoot them, but I don't have a gun. I'm talking about mice. And little creatures have crept into the house, and they do it every fall about this time. And I told you, one of them crept into the toaster 4 or 5 years ago. And my wife don't like me to tell this, but we got rid of the toaster. We sold it in this auction we had here. When I started to make me a toast one morning, and before it popped up, I heard the awfulest noise taking place in that toaster. And here he came, right out over the top of the toaster. And man, did he hit. He headed for tall timber, you know. I sterilized it. I scalded it. I washed it. I put all kinds of detergents. But I just couldn't stand the thoughts of eating any more toast out of that toaster. Now, you may have been in there before, but I didn't know it. Now, the only difference in you and I tell these things, and you keep them to yourself. But you want to get rid of creeping things. Now, I think you get the point. I think you understand what I'm saying. There's another house that I'm concerned about. It's the house you live in. It's you. It's me. And folks, if we're not careful, there will be some creeping things creep into our life that will defile our temple. I mean, and leave us cold and powerless. And I don't want that to happen. So I'm going to say, watch out for creeping things. It can come in the form of sports. And everybody needs a little bit of exercise. So I don't want you to ever think that I'm just all out preaching against. One thing I don't understand is some of you folks buying bicycles without wheels on them. If I'm going to ride, I want to go somewhere. And Johnny Wall got him a boat, and he sits there and paddles, and don't paddle anywhere. No water even. Hurt himself the other day. Went to Dr. Maynard, and he thought he had a hernia. And he said, "What have you been doing?" He said, "Well, just taking exercise." And he said, "I was doing some set-ups or push-ups, whatever." And he said, "This thing caught me." And he said, "How many did you do?" And he said, "Oh, you know." He said, "Two, three." He said, "297." Dr. Maynard said, "You don't need your side examined, you need your head examined." I'm inclined to say amen. I mean, you can overdo anything. And while you're overdoing some things, there's all kinds of snails and snakes and lizards. Remember the first lizard I ever saw, little bitty old boy? My mom was washing out in the backyard, had an old black tub pot out there boiling the clothes. And oh, women worked hard in those days. They'd boil those clothes, stir them around, cut that lye soap, and they had to make the soap too, and get those clothes out, wrench them, and then have to wring them, rub them on a rub board. And all. Oh, folks, you ladies, you mamas, you got it a lot easier than our forefathers did before us. And some of you sitting here had to go this route. But I walked around the house, and there sat this little creature on the porch. And it liked to scare me to death. I ran around the house, and I said, "Mama, there's a snake around there that's got legs." And she said, "Snakes don't have legs." I said, "This one does." And she went around and killed it. But I can imagine all kinds of spiritual things like this that's just waiting to creep into your life. Just looking for a little crack. Just a little hole where a pipe has been. You know, just a little slackness. There's all kinds of sins that would, you want me to name some of the sins? You've heard me say the word so many times you could almost set it to music. Adultery, fornication, perversions. All of these things are terrible sins, but it don't start with these big things. It's these little creeping things, like the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things. Now, I have several people here tonight who in times past have been alcoholics and have been delivered by the power of Almighty God. Folks, that's about as big a miracle as I could talk about tonight. Someone that's been hooked on drugs or alcohol and have been set free by the power of God. Amen. That's a miracle. There's not another program in the world that will promise you what the church promises you, that when you are delivered from it, you are healed. Praise God. They say if an alcoholic ever takes a drink again, he's right back in the old, he may wait 10 years, they say. And then he takes a drink and he goes right back. In fact, Ted Robinson, my wife's brother, was a good example of this. Ted came to St. Louis and to visit us. And he just a surprise visit. And, of course, he was always in trouble. He spent more than his half of his adult life in prison. And he came to see us. And I gave him $2 to go to town to get himself a haircut because he needed it. And so he came back with a haircut. And he also came back with 6 pair of nylons for my wife. And he had Rendell a billfold. He had Brenda some kind of present. He had me a present. He had about $50 worth of presents. You don't do that kind of business on $2. So I said, Ted, where'd you get this? Oh, he said, I've got my ways. He was sort of topsy-turvy on top of that. And I said, now look, we don't want no stolen goods brought into our home. Don't you do that. It's not stole. I paid for it with cash, and the cash was mine. And I kept questioning him, and he said, well, I'll just show you. And he pulled out a string of credit cards that long in one of those plastic things, you know. And I said, and wasn't his name on there. I said, Ted, where in the world did you get these? Oh, I took them out of a fellow's glove box in his car. That's the way I came to St. Louis. He said, I bought a ticket to Chicago, and I just got off in St. Louis where they couldn't find me. Yeah. And he had gone over with an American Express card to the airport and cashed in for about $100 or whatever, bought us all presents, come in. And would you believe went right back the next day to the same place to get some more? And there was the FBI standing there ready to pick him up, and did. He got a year in jail in St. Louis. Being an alcoholic now, that created problems because you have a hard time getting alcohol inside the prison. Some do, they say, but it's not the easiest thing when you got a big old guy like Greenway Garden. But Ted stayed in there for one solid year. And then he came to Pine Bluff and got him a job and was on 6 months probation. And they told him, if we find out you've been drinking, we won't even have a trial. You'll just come back into prison. So 6 months. That made a year and a half. Are you listening to me tonight? A year and a half that he did not consume alcoholic beverages, but he was an alcoholic. And when his 6 months probation or parole was over, and he didn't have to report to the parole officer anymore, guess what he did the next day? He got drunk and got in jail. Started all over again, just to verify what I'm saying. That the programs of the world, they may lock you up, they may teach you, they may give you classes, they may offer you the AAs, and all of these programs are good as far as they go, but not a one of them does what a real experience of God does for one. We serve in this church, and it may be offensive to some, but I feel it's biblical. We serve in communion service a light form of wine. Low fermentation wine. I feel that any kind of juice that comes from the grape is wine. It would not offend me to use grape juice because I believe that, biblically speaking, that's wine of the cluster. Unfermented, but wine. But we do serve wine because I believe that in most seasons of the year, that's what the apostles used. I'm not afraid to offer David Bowery a little vat of wine. Because along with the Holy Ghost, he got healed. He's delivered. He who the Son has set free is free indeed. I'm not afraid to serve Chip Yosemite, a little portion of that, because I believe in healing. I believe in deliverance. Now, folks, if you don't understand what I'm saying, I'm talking about miracles, outstanding miracles. But I want to tell you something else. Now, if you have ever been an alcoholic or never have been an alcoholic, you can become one just by letting creeping things slip into your life. Just a beer, they say, won't hurt anybody. So try one. I tried it. Bitter and sour all at the same time. And I don't like salt. And the only way I could drink it, now it's been a few years since I tried that. But I don't like salt, and the only way I could drink it, it was salty as brine. Now, if you can learn to like that, I guess you've got a better learner than I've got. But what I'm trying to say, it starts with just a social drink, just a swallow, just a little here and a little. It creeps into your life. It creeps into it. The next thing you know, you're chained. Sam, you didn't intend to ever be an alcoholic. You didn't intend to ever be on drugs. You didn't intend to, some of you, to get yourself in trouble from a divorce and remarriage and all of that. Let me say this right here. Whatever you have been, there's just one thing to do. Put it under the blood. Don't condemn yourself. Don't send yourself to hell without giving God a chance to straighten out your life. I am not preaching at anybody who has had their lives mixed up in times past, whether it be drinking or gambling or marriage and remarriage. I'll admit all of these are sins. They do not belong in the church of God. But I'm glad to tell you what I told a young man the other day. He said, I've messed up my life. I don't know what to do about it. I said, yesterday is past. Now is now. Tomorrow is another day. It's what you do about today, not yesterday, that'll change the course of your life. I'd like to mention churches, how things creep into churches. One of the biggest creeping things that I know of, and it's rather sly, is formality. God does not want our churches to be formal. He does not want us to just go all out and be silly country. But at the same time, we don't want to be so starchy. But what everybody can feel comfortable in the house of God. But if we become so formal, and please don't think that I'm fighting the organization, but I think I know what I'm talking about. Our national, our international radio program called Harvest Time, very few of us enjoy listening to it because it's too uptownish. It's too high class. And we're not the lowest class people in town. But I feel, I'm going to tip my hat to Jimmy Swaggart in this respect. He's got a program that everybody will enjoy. I'm not talking about the truth or the mistruth that he may preach, but he goes on the level that everybody, regardless of their position in society. And others, Humbard has had a good program in times past. And I'm not upholding any wrong that might be in these fellows' teaching. But when will we ever learn? We don't gain the world by being precise and formal and cold and starchy. We need to come on with a Pentecostal song, with Pentecostal worship, and a Pentecostal message that people can understand what we're talking about. Holy Ghost salvation. But into our midst it creeps. Formality, coldness. We were talking about the choir. I like to see the choir and these kids sing and everybody. And it's not a classical choir. It's not what the world would give you a ribbon for, but it's beautiful. And it's good to see the cooperation. But I've watched it, and I've seen great choir directors that had a lot of ability, that blessed people everywhere they went. And I can remember at the campground when we had choirs that brought a shout down and they ran the aisles. I mean, it was the highlight of the camp. You can remember that just a few years ago. But nearly every choir director, and Brother Donald, I don't think you'd ever, because you don't profess to be a musician, and you're not looking to spread your wings and make a big name for yourself. But these musicians I'm talking about, and I've even warned Rundle about this, they get so chord conscious and minor conscious and different dimensions in chords. And they sang songs that the ordinary person can't even think, let alone sing. And if you can't think what they're singing, you can't get a blessing. This has crept into our Pentecostal churches. Choir songs that don't mean a thing. Ensemble songs that don't mean a thing. Solos that you can't understand. It's kin to yay, 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 and that old junk. I heard a boy going down the street a while ago with a radio playing so loud, it must have been a tape. I don't think this would be on the radio. And he was talking about you black, and the first letter is S, and you can guess at the other letter. And it was so loud you could hear it all over the neighborhood, and it was supposed to be a song. Now, that wasn't on television. That was on a radio. I want you to know this world is on a downhill run. But if we're not careful, this stuff that's going on will be creeping into our midst. I went to a service the other day, and they taught us some new courses. And the courses were Jewish songs, they said. I doubt if a Jew would understand what he's doing. But they'd sing a few verses, and then I don't care for that, folks. That's not what I'm interested in. It might be good for the kids to learn some time and all that, but when it comes to the house of God, don't let this charismatic stuff creep into our church. If we have to keep singing the Glory Land way from now on out, let's sing from our heart. Let's sing and worship God. Give me a little bit of the old landmarks. Give me a little bit more of I'll Fly Away. Give me a little bit more of Where the Soul Never Dies. Tell me something that'll bless me and help me. Now, we've moved into an era that the only people that enjoy the singing in many of our churches and conferences are musicians themselves. It has become a talent contest. I bought the Songfest album on video at the conference, and as far as I was concerned, it wasn't fit to listen or see. The song choices are bad. They've moved into a type singing. No, I'm not an old fogey. I've been around long enough to know what blessed. If you've got a little bit of sense, look over the congregation. When these type songs are being sung, see how it moves the people. Not a tear and not a shout, sometimes an applaud. But we're not in this for an applaud. I want to see some tears. I want to see some real hands raised voluntarily. I'd like to see someone shouting because they received something from God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And my Lord, all the things that are creeping into our midst and into our lives if we're not careful. At our fingertips, there are all kinds of worldly things. And if we're not careful, we don't have time to go to church. We don't have time to. I have seen businessmen. I've seen them visit church and see them get so impatient because they had phone calls to make, and they had plans to be drawn, and they had set up appointments for 9:30, and they had to get out of the house of God. Now, I believe, folks, that we can make a living in 8 or 10 hours a day. I think that was God's plan. Amen. They say you need 8 hours of rest, 8 hours of work, and 8 hours of recreation or play. Well, what about pray and go to the house of God? But you see, we can program ourselves till we don't have time. Or we can have so many things creep into our lives that when we come to church, we come out of duty, and we are not blessed, and we don't receive anything because we spend our time yawning and tired. If it's necessary, do like I do. Take your nap about 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening and feel like coming to the church and putting your heart into the service. I fail sometimes, but I want to see the church blessed. I want to see sinners saved. And if anything has crept into your life that ought not to be there, let's put it in reverse tonight. Let's get that thing out of your life. Howard Hutto was a preacher that could not talk plain. he and Brother, well, I can't think of McKeithen. Robert McKeithen used to travel together in evangelistic work. And they were at a Louisiana camp meeting. And a lady had a bug get in her ear. And she came running, screaming to the front, wanting to be prayed for because a bug had crawled into her ear. And so Brother Hutto ran out to pray for her. He laid his hands on her, and he prayed. And then he began to talk to the bug. He said, "It'll bug. It'll bug." Said, "Come out of there." She still screamed. He said, "Little bug, come out of there." And she was still carrying on. He said, "Little bug, if you don't have time, you don't have room to turn around," said, "back out." I'm saying the things that may have crept into your life, let them back out. Get rid of them. Already tried to destroy you. Already tried to destroy your home. Already about ruined your health. It's time to rebuke these powers. It's time to get rid of them. You want to know how? Here's an altar. Just come down here and tell God, "Lord, I need help. I need help." Amen. Just tell Him you need help. Repent. And after that, we'll baptize you in Jesus' name. And then, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be made as white as snow. And then God's promise will be fulfilled in your life. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's stand together.
Time is white.
If you need God, come right on right now.
Time.